Roger, the name of the company is Vail Resorts.
Have I said too much?
Pretty soon you'll be telling stories that can't be told. It's just mind-boggling.
Welcome back to Whistler Stories That Need to Be Told, and part two of my interview with Roger McCarthy, his international years. What happened after you met with Hugh Smythe at Blackcomb Mountain in 1990?
You know, there's only two people that get to deal with all the employees at all the levels. And one's the guy in the corner office, and the other one's the director of human resources. And anyway, I went there as director of human resources, and a year to the day, I flew into Mont-Tremblant in Quebec, and Interwest was looking at buying it. And then my job was to interview all the managers there and figure out which ones we should keep and which ones would work and which ones might not work given, you know, our corporate culture.
I remember you telling me when you had that human resources job, which would say, well, that was my job, but I'd spend a lot of time in Hugh's office talking about operations.
Yeah.
But that only lasted for so long, and then Interwest proceeded to take over the world.
Well, yeah. We bought Tremblant out of bankruptcy. And it was rough. The rodents and the flies had taken over the buildings. And we took it over. And in 4.5 years, it was the number one resort in Eastern North America. You know, we had put together a great team. And everybody worked their rear ends off. I had some amazing experiences in Quebec. You know, signed letters of commendation from Pierre Trudeau. But
not only that, here's a Kiwi and he learns to speak French.
Oui.
And then that's pretty amazing that you had the focus and the hard work to make that thing work. That was the impetus to go into, you know, other resorts and take over and do the same thing again.
Yeah, we bought Tremblant out of bankruptcy, and then we bought three resorts in the U.S., Eastern U.S. We bought Stratton in Vermont, Snowshoe in West Virginia, and Mountain Creek in New Jersey. And then we bought 50% of Blue Mountain in Ontario. And Mont Saint Marie, which is just outside of Ottawa. So we had six resorts, and then Hugh, I kept saying to Hugh, I want to come back. He said, you're not coming back. We need somebody to look after this stuff here, these six resorts. And so those resorts started reporting up to me. And then Interwest did a deal with Compagnie des Alpes in France. And so Hugh says to me, you're the only guy on the executive committee who speaks French. You're going to have to deal with those people. You know, but the acceleration of...
What was that, like 10 years from Tremblant to Paris, or not even that, maybe?
Not even that. Yeah. I'd say five, six
wow.
years. And I'd fly into Paris for a board meeting. Once every winter, I'd go to every one of their 12 resorts. And then I'd do the same thing in the summer.
You got to know the Europeans well.
I got to know them actually very well. It's such a different business. All they do is sell lift tickets. Then they don't own ski school stuff. They're not in the ski rental or ski shop business. They're not on the restaurant business in anything else.
Not to mention real estate, which is what Interwest did the best.
Oh, yeah. And the real estate guys had got going in France. But it wasn't, I don't think it was as simple as it was, had been in certainly in North America. I mean, in the ski business, you got to put your skis on and go out and look around. Walk through the restaurants, ski stuff, see how the lifts are running. You know, are they efficient? Is stuff well designed? Is stuff well laid out? Mm-hmm. How's their grooming? Do they make snow? What kind of water capacity, pumping capacity do they have? What kind of guns are they running for snowmaking? And
so you just learned all of this. The stuff from operations, from being involved in it.
Like, yeah.
We didn't have snowmaking, really. And then you went to Tremblant, and that's all they had there, probably, for so long. And you learned a lot.
We had snowmaking, but it was pretty crude at Tremblant. And I just got into it and just thought, okay, I got to go find some guys.
Yeah, it's a whole new science, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's all about getting that water droplet as small as you can get it and get it hang time as long as you can get it.
Right. And then there's the snow cats that have evolved from
There was just a roller.
It was a roller in the back, and there were two sticks. Well, you pull back on one, and it slows the track down, and the thing would go like this.
I know.
Pull the other one, it goes the other way.
Look at them today. I mean, it's amazing. They got those dragons that make the half pipes and all that stuff.
The technology is amazing.
Yeah. And then you got hooked up in the Vail Corporation, eh? And that was another mind-blowing experience, I guess, because it was, again, another culture, which you took from, you know, being a New Zealander to Canada, and then a Canadian to, well, I'm just going to say another, but Quebec, which is almost another country.
No, at that time was trying to be another
country.
That's
right. They were trying to separate, and that must have been exciting. But and then United States politics and business, and big business. And Vail, of course, is the top ski, like Whistler actually built its village with the same architect as the guy that built the Vail Village. Eldon Beck. And I know you had a relationship with him around, you know, when you're doing Tremblant and other resorts.
I mean, Eldon Beck, I went through 16 mountain villages in 5 countries in 9 days.
And he was analyzing and teaching all the way along the line.
He'd be taking pictures, and I'd be watching him, and we'd talk about why does this square in this village work so well, and then we go to another one. Why does the square not work at all?
It was about the light, and he always had the viewscapes and the sunsets and the light, and where's the sun shining at 4 o'clock? And
he's very much into where's the shadow going to be, because the shadow in January is going to be ice.
Yeah. Intrawest kind of took credit for that and used it in a number of different real estate developments, like, you know, all over the states and stuff. And I think it made Eldon famous, and it made Intrawest successful, because the business grew and grew and grew at that time.
I had this great job. I had this amazing job. I had 6 resorts in Eastern North America, and I was either driving or trying to find a plane I could get on to go somewhere. And I'd have to come back to Whistler for board meetings or whatever. And my son was probably, I don't know, Julian was probably 4 or 5 or 6 or something. And so you're trying to get home for a weekend, and you're stuck, and you can't get, you know, the plane isn't going to fly. Came to a point, I said, get a job where I can come home every night. And so I ran into Bill Jensen in New York, and they did not have a COO at Breckenridge. Anyway, long story short, I left Intrawest, ran Breckenridge, and got to put a few lifts in there.
Again, used your political acumen to help the government help you build lifts, which is...
I'm guilty as charged.
No, I mean,
it's
highest lift in North America.
Yeah, 12,890. It's just under 13,000 feet, the top of it. Probably the most important thing that I did there was something that had never happened in the ski industry in the United States. And we were going to build a village at the base of Peak 8, which you had to drive up this road to. But we also had a plan to build a lift from the town of Breckenridge. And it's a very cool old mining town. It's an 1850s mining town. It's very cool.
Authentic.
Yeah, it's the real thing.
Yeah.
So we wanted to build a lift from the town to the mountain. The financial model didn't work. It didn't work unless we sold the buildings first to pay for the gondola. Mm-hmm. So anyway, long story short, the mayor and I, who became really good buddies, but we ended up having a battle in a council meeting. And he's yelling at me, and I'm yelling at him, and... Right. And then, you know, we walked out of the meeting. We said, we got to go have a beer together. And so we sat down and we figured out a way that I got the town to put $10 million into the gondola. And then the development came after that.
And the real estate just must have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the whole town just went off.
Yeah.
And
what did that do to the skier visits?
Well, they're probably in around 2 million visits now. I mean, think of this. It was 1.6. Whistler Blackcomb does 2.
Yeah.
And Breckenridge is tiny by comparison. Oh, yeah, you got Peak 8, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But, you know, it's like a ridge.
Yeah, it's not like.
So, in any event, but it's a neat little town, and turned out to be, it was the first municipal company, ski area company, partnership of building a chairlift or building anything, building a gondola.
Plus, and then the lift that went to 12,000.
We did that. The Vail Resorts did that.
Right, yeah. Became the highest lift serviced mountain in the States.
In North America,
yeah.
I had been in Vail worked for Vail for 7 years. They asked me if I could go and fix Keystone, and I did. One of the things that we had at Keystone, there's a river runs right across the bottom of the mountain. And I'm standing on the bridge on the river, above the river one day, and I started to look towards Denver, and I started to think, you know, there's three universities in Denver. There are 20,000 students apiece. There's none of them here. Mm. Keystone wasn't cool. I had to figure out a way, how do we make this place cool? I ran into this guy from Quebec who had a ski area, and he said, I said to him, how was your winter? And he said, oh, c'était formidable. You know, it was formidable. You know, I said, oh, great. What'd you do that was special? He said, oh, fell in Nuit Blanche. We did the White Nights. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, we open the lifts at 9 o'clock on a Friday morning, and we run them until 9 o'clock on Saturday night, all night with the lights on. And I said, what happens? He said, all those young people come from the universities in Montreal, and we just have a great party. And I'm thinking, wow. We're going to try that at Keystone. So we did. I asked the guy that ran grooming and the guy that ran snowmaking, why don't you meet me at the top of the mountain, 2 o'clock. So I get to the top of the mountain, guy that runs snowmaking, he's got a pair of old beaten skis and beaten boots, and he done that. You know, he's got two different gloves, and he's got, you know, two kids in university. So, and I look at the other guy, and he's a telemarker, and he's the guy that runs snowmaking. So I'm thinking, something's got to change here. So I say, okay, let's go out. Show me the toughest place you have to make snow, and Jimmy, you show me the toughest place you have for grooming. So we ski all over the place, and we look at a bunch of stuff. And by the time we finish, I say, Jimmy, go to the shop, skis, boots, poles, goggles, helmet, a whole 9 yards, bring me the bill. And the guy that ran snowmaking, I said, whatever you need. You know, you need better, you know, wet gear or whatever. You just tell me what you need.
You got to keep up with the clientele.
Here's what we got to do.
Right on. Yeah.
And we went from 980,000 visits to 1.2 million with no capital cost. You know, we didn't put any new lifts in or add new cats or anything. It was just standing back and understanding what we could do to make it better.
Sometimes that's what it takes, somebody from the outside.
And
yeah.
And not limited by, you know, that's what happens, I think, is, you know, the walls grow in on us over time.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of kick the walls down every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Boy, good stories. But that wasn't it. I mean, you had an opportunity, didn't you, to move on from even the North American.
Well, I was at a race in Beaver Creek, and there was a woman sitting on this chair kind of out of the way, and she was Russian. I said, what are you doing here? She said, well, we're going to build a ski area. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, we want to bid for the Olympics, Winter Olympics. And so, anyway, long story short, I got on a plane and I flew to Moscow, and I met Vladimir Potanin, who had been the finance minister under Yeltsin. And when the Russian economy collapsed, he went to Yeltsin and he said, look, what we need to do is find, you know, 20 or 40, whatever the number is, friends of Mother Russia, and we're going to give those guys certain assets, Mother Russia, and they're going to go into the West and they're going to raise money against
kind of westernizing.
Yeah, and so he created the oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
Committed to do was to bid for the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, which were going to be in Sochi. So I'd sort of heard about this and I'd thought about maybe the only thing I hadn't done yet was imagine if you could build a resort, you just take this mountain and you build it for
visualize it
the Olympics.
Make it happen.
And so anyway, I left Vail Resorts to go live in Moscow. I lived in Moscow and went backwards and forwards to Sochi and worked on the bid. We won the bid, started to build a ski area and built the ski area, and they held the Olympics there.
But it's kind of like the way Whistler was born, you know? You've got the same location close to the ocean, got these massive mountains, and you're kind of thinking the Olympics would be such a great thing to do. Except they did it in 10 years and took us like 30. But but still.
You know, the parallels, are, it's so similar. The Black Sea was so, the town of Sochi is 50K from the base of the mountain, Squamish to Whistler. Same. Mm-hmm. For me, to a large degree, I had gone through, you know, because the ski industry had evolved so much, but there were so many lessons learned through the process, and a lot of them were not good lessons. I thought, imagine if you can go and take all the things that you've learned and build a ski area from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for listening today as Roger and I discussed his international years. What an amazing career. If you have a Whistler story that needs to be told, please email me at brucew@remax.net. BRUCEW@REMAX.NET. I would love to hear your story.